1 John tonight and chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and we're continuing a series on being on watch for you. As a pastor, my heart's desire is to help guard and protect and watch for things that can be a harm or danger. And false teachers are repeatedly given as warnings that there are going to be false teachers. There's going to be false teachers. And you might think, why is it so often mentioned in Scripture that there's false teachers? Because it's real. Because there will be repeated attacks against truth. And we've been looking at a series of them, kinds of false teachings to be on watch for. This evening, let's look at 1 John chapter 2 and verses 18 through 27. I want you to follow along as we read these verses. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Father, please teach us from your word tonight. Help us to see those that deny Christ and the many ways in which the enemy wishes to deny the authority of Scripture regarding what Christ has done, who he is, and help us, Lord, to be confident again in our Savior. May we, as we remember those that say other things than what the Bible says and what you have revealed of Christ, may we realize and be encouraged what we have in our Savior, who he is and what he has done. And may that encourage our hearts tonight. And thank you for the promise of eternal life that is ours and that can be encouraged to those who have believed to be reminded of. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, tonight I want to go and remind you just quickly the five categories of false teachers we've looked at. We looked at the dividers, those who are carnally trying to disrupt things in the church, the delinquents, those who are poor with their Bible interpretation, the distractors, those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. We looked last time at the deviators, those who claim to restore, but really are distorting things from truth. And tonight, we're going to look at the deniers. And this is probably the category that everyone would say, well, of course, those people are false teachers. Don't we need to, why do we need to even say that? And in fact, in somewhat similar fashion, John is speaking in this letter, and he's saying, you don't need me to tell you this, you know this, but you need to be reminded of it, because there are people who are trying to seduce, and you need to be on watch for it. You need to be on guard from these things. And so tonight we're going to look at those who deny the deity of Christ and the Bible's clear authoritative word about who Jesus Christ is. And so in our passage, we're going to look tonight at the deniers, that they have a rejection of the Bible revealed Christ. Your definition of who Jesus Christ is must come from the Bible. It doesn't come from your experience. It doesn't come from what other people say or make claims of. It comes from what God has revealed in his word. And the apostles were those who saw the living Christ and who's heard the message of Christ. And John was among those who saw Christ crucified and saw him resurrected. and had the message that Christ would give and the truth of that work of the Holy Spirit that Jesus spoke of to his disciples. He has seen that now come to fruition, and he has that authority to say to us, here's what is true, and be careful of those who are telling you something that is not. And so that statement in verse 22, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now, I want to give you, before we look at that tonight, the outline, I want to just give you some context. In verse 18 of our text, it says, little children. John uses that terminology in this letter, and it's an affectionate kind of terminology. When you think of little children, you think of those that can be susceptible to dangers, that need to be guarded. And I appreciate that. I'm a dad. I've got little kids, and their capacity to see all the threats around them is varied. Being a parent is exciting. This past week, we went bike riding on the trail over here in Franklin. And it's always fun for me as a dad to watch the varying levels of carefulness in my children. You know, as they get older, they become more confident and they become more capable of seeing dangers. Sometimes when they're younger, they need some direction that the older ones have learned now that they can watch out for things. And, you know, as an apostle, John recognized there are people that are young in their faith that need someone to care for them. And the Holy Spirit uses that terminology to come from his lips. Little children. And he says it is the last time. What does that mean? The last time. Since Christ's arrival on the scene, things are coming to an end with God's plans for humanity. Do you realize that? You're like, it's been 2,000 years. How can it be the last time then and now? My friend, that's an exciting reality, that what God is doing inside of the whole scope of humanity is coming to a close, as it were, in this time. And it's coming to a point where God is about to do something that is going to conclude this portion of humanity's history, humanity's interaction in this time that we have. And he's concerned that they know that in that time, something is going to happen. And what is it that he says? Ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. You know that Jesus spoke of those that would be speaking things that were anti to himself. And we're not going to take the time to look at all of them tonight. But Matthew 24, verse 5, verse 11 and 24, Jesus spoke of things that would be said, that there would be others who would come that would say they are Christ. That there would be in Acts 20, Paul's warning right before he would depart. Remember there in Ephesus when he gathers those folks together and he shares with them his burden and he tells them to watch out. We've seen that passage in 1 Timothy 4 and 2 Timothy 3, 2 Peter 2. All of these statements about false teachers and false prophets. There's a consistent theme of that because all of the apostles are repeating the theme that Jesus himself said would happen. There's going to be, in this time period, people that will try to turn you away from Christ. That there will be people who turn attention away from Jesus as Christ. Why do you think the enemy, our enemy, Satan, would want people to turn away from Christ to something else? In Christ alone is the authority and power over sin, death, and the grave. In Christ alone. There is no authority, there is no power, except that Christ died and was buried and rose again. And if the enemy can get your attention away from Jesus and the cross and his death, do you know what? If he can get the world's attention, or if he can get Christians to not emphasize that, do you know what? The effect of the gospel goes away without Christ. The gospel is Christ. It's Christ exalted. It's Christ lifted up. And the enemy wants nothing more than for Christ to be pulled down and people to be distracted, to be on a different kind of focus than the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the denial of Christ is going to be their method. In fact, in verse 20 through 21, he says, you have a method or a way by which to refuse or to discern that there are false teachers. You know what he says in verse 20? But ye have an unction from the Holy One. You know what that word unction means? It means an anointing. It means you have received something that enables you to see and know what is false. In verse 27, the kind of bookends of this passage, that anointing is brought up again. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. What anointing do you think it might possibly be that a Christian receives after they believe on Christ and that remains with them? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God comes upon the person as soon as they believe on Christ. As I mentioned this morning, he is that earnest of our expectation, the one who we are sealed by. But do you know what the Holy Spirit of God does within us as well? He also helps us see what is false. He helps us discern what is not true. He helps us be able to see and observe, this is not the truth, this is. And John alludes to that. He alludes to the fact that you know these things, but you need to be reminded that the Holy Spirit of God is doing this work, this anointing, this unction that you have from the Holy One, and ye know all things. So it's possible for us to see and observe false teachers, those who are not of Christ. So, as we look at these things tonight, I want you to realize you can observe them. You don't have to have an immense amount of training to see them. He's speaking to little children. I would say from the youngest in here among us, kids, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, or adults, if you've trusted Christ in the last year or 2 years or 3 years, your ability to see this truth that we're going to look at tonight, those who are deniers, that ability is one you have because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, the unction from the Holy One. You have God's enabling for you to be able to see what is true and what is not. So let's look at, first of all, the message of the deniers. The message. What do they say that is so bad? Here's the first thing that they say. All right, here's the message. The denial of Jesus as Christ. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? You see that in verse 22? Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? What does it mean, the Christ? Why is that special? Jesus, the Christ. The false teachers, and there are many of them to this day that we'll talk about in a minute, do not deny the existence of a Jesus. But what they will deny is the Jesus who is the Christ. And that is important. What is the Christ? The Anointed One, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son upon whom you can depend upon for salvation. Do you remember in John 4:29? Remember the woman at the well and her answer to people about this man Jesus in John chapter 4. Look over there with me, John chapter 4, verse 29. After Jesus has interacted with her and told her things that only God could tell her, that no one else would know, she says of this to other people in verse 29, John 4:29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She had an understanding that there was one who was prophesied in the Old Testament to come and to be the Messiah, to be the special one from God who would be a deliverer, who would be a savior. You say, well, why is that important? Because her declaration was also understood by others. Look at verse 42. Those that she's telling this to say in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, after Christ had come and interacted with them, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You know who the Christ is? He is the Savior of the world. He is the one to be believed, to be trusted, to be depended upon. And the denial of Jesus as Christ is exactly what those false teachers will come in and do. They will lie and say, he is not the one. Jesus told his disciples to recognize there would be others who would come who would say they were Christ. In fact, there will be a great Antichrist in the future who will set himself up as a deliverer, who will set himself up as the one to be adored, and he is not the true, the living, and the correct Christ. He will be an antichrist. He will be the antichrist. But there will be many who are antichrist. You know, anyone who denies the authority of Jesus Christ now is antichrist. Not the antichrist, but antichrist. He is against, he is opposed, he is working against. And there are those who are against Christ in our world today who deny Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one from God, the one sent to save the world from their sins. And we need to recognize that. In fact, John would say at the end of his letter in John 20, in verse 31, these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You know how salvation is to be realized by people? It is by faith in Jesus Christ that he is the Christ, the one from God, who is the Son of God, who in believing him, we can have life. That's what salvation is, that Christ is the one through whom life can come. And so the denial of Jesus as Christ is the denial of the gospel. It is a denial of who Jesus is as the one sent from God to save humanity. False teachings deny that Christ has come, that he died, that he rose again, that he alone can save. And we'll look at a few of those who speak that message in just a moment. But the denial of Jesus Christ is the first thing that's spoken of in 1 John chapter 2. Notice with me a second thing, and that is the denial of Christ as deity. Back in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23, notice what the Bible says. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Whosoever denieth the Son hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, are there people who deny that Jesus is God? There are quite a few. There are a number of false teachers who deny that Jesus is God, who deny the position of the Son. Why is that important? According to that verse, he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. If you reject Jesus, who are you also rejecting? You're rejecting God. Why? Because they are the same. You cannot reject the Son without also rejecting the Father. They are one and the same. You are not going to worship God if you reject Jesus. There's no way for that to work. They are one. In fact, I think that it's so interesting how many teachers today disconnect that. But I will tell you, rejection of the Son is the rejection of the Father. Rejection of the Son is rejection of the Father. What did Jesus say in John 14, 6? And you can write down these references I've put up there. We'll look at a few of them perhaps. For John 14, 6, you would know. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is an exclusive relationship with God and the Son, and there is no other way for you to get to God except through the Son. You reject Christ, you can't get to the Father. That simple. There is a unity in them. There is no disconnecting of them. They are together God. Hebrews 1, verse 1. In fact, you're not too far from that. Why don't you look over at Hebrews 1? Hebrews 1, verse 1. And if you want a passage that clearly defines the deity of Christ, this would be one that you could look to. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says that Jesus is God in this passage. The Bible says in Hebrews 1, 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he what? Made the worlds. Okay, now get this. Who created everything? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created. Who is it that God has appointed as the one who has created or made the worlds? His Son, Jesus. Are they interconnected? Inseparably, friends. Inseparably. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Jesus and God are inseparably connected. They are one. In fact, if you look over in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Friend, Jesus Christ is the Word. And he very clearly was with God, and he is God. The Word was God. The Bible says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Can you disconnect Jesus and God and have the truth of the Bible? No. Those who deny Jesus, and in particular, his deity, or that he is the Christ, are denying what Scripture declares about Jesus. Here's a third denial that they'll make. False teachers deny the denial of the Christ coming in the flesh. The denial of Christ coming in the flesh. Look back in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4 verse 1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Is that pretty clear? If someone testifies that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he's of God. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in," or is it in, "the world." You know that the denial of Christ coming in the flesh is significant. And we'll mention some groups in a moment that claim this, that you've probably heard the name of these groups before. But the idea of Christ not coming in the flesh leaves the idea of just a spiritual Jesus, or just an idea, but not a real person in flesh. And there's a problem with that. Why did Jesus have to come in the flesh? He had to come in the flesh to pay for our sin, to die a substitutionary death for us on the cross, that he would be a second Adam, the one who would take on our sin, having never sinned, to be perfect God and man at the same time. We believe in the incarnation, where God became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1 speaks of that. That is an amazing and important truth. And those who deny that Jesus came and came in the flesh are denying the message of the gospel. What did Jesus shed on the cross for our sins? Blood. Blood was spilled. Blood was shed for us. Real blood, not fake blood, not imaginary blood, not spiritual blood. His physical body was broken for us. His blood was poured out for us. You know, the Lord's Supper, and I should have mentioned this, we were going to observe Lord's Supper tonight. We will next Sunday night. The picturing of that, that is a reminder of the physical nature of Jesus' suffering. Why do we remember his suffering over and over? It's because it was real. It was painful. It was death for us. It was not just a spiritual experience. It was real. And it was a real Jesus who came in a real body to die for us. The Bible says in 2 John 1 verse 7, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is the deceiver and antichrist." You know, there are going to be people who say, Jesus didn't really come in the flesh. Jesus really didn't come. Jesus really didn't come. In fact, some of those people who will say that are in the group that I'll call later as we look at tonight, theological liberals, who want to just take away all of the miraculous from the Word of God, who want to remind, make everything that is clearly what Jesus Christ did in a body. They want to take that away. Their terminology for it is demythologize the Bible. The Bible is not mythology. It's not fairy tales. It is the record of what truly happened to God's Son who came in the flesh to die for us. And you need to know that those who deny that Jesus came in the flesh are false teachers. They are antichrist. They are opposed to the truth. Now, why do they deny this? They do not believe in or wish to promote the doctrine of the incarnation, that Jesus did come in flesh. And a lot of times they'll say things like, well, that wasn't really possible for God to do that. Friend, what is impossible with God? In fact, interestingly, what was Mary's question? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And remember the angel's answer? With men, it's impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. Okay, the foundation of our faith is on the basis of something that humanly is impossible. With God, nothing, nothing, nothing is impossible. You and I need to know that. You need to be confident in that. You need to be recognizing there will be people who wish to attack the authority of Christ that he came in the flesh. Here's the fourth thing tonight. The denial of Christ raising from the dead. The denial of Christ raising from the dead. Now, this isn't mentioned in 1 John, but I will point out Jesus, after his resurrection, there were those who made the claim that he didn't really raise from the dead. You remember this? Matthew chapter 28. And I put a little bit of it on here for us. But Matthew 28 verse 12, actually that's 1 Corinthians 15 that I've got up there. Matthew 28, 12 says, and when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. Remember the soldiers who had been there to guard the tomb, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So don't worry about telling this lie. And the Bible says, so they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. In the days after Jesus rose from the dead, a common theme was, well, we all know the disciples came and stole the body. And that was commonly shared. Okay. How many people think disciples are going to steal a body away from Roman guards? Okay. No. But it was the story that was told. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians 15, the idea of the resurrection had evidently come under attack. That people even doubting the resurrection of Christ. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know that a common attack is that there is no resurrection. That there is nothing after this. There were people that were saying that. And the Bible says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. By the way, those of our church family who have passed, if Christ is not raised from the dead, what's happened to them? The very next verse tells us what would be true of us. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men what? Most miserable. And thankfully, he goes on to say, but now is Christ risen from the dead. Now, friend, the teaching that Christ is not risen has tremendous impact upon people. And it is false. It is a false doctrine, a false teaching to say that Christ did not raise from the dead. The teaching of that, there are a number of people that teach that. I want to give you a couple of groups that teach some of these things. The manifestation of the deniers. Back in 1 John chapter 2, notice what it says in verse 19. They went out from us. Okay. There were people, a part of those groups who were believers, but there were people who were not believers inside those groups, who went out from us. That means they departed from this, that which was taught, that which was spoken of, who Jesus Christ was, what he did, what God had revealed. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Their departing reveals something that's very important. Their departing was because they did not believe the truth. And that became clear. In fact, notice what it says. But they went out that they might be made manifest. You know what that word means? So that you would see it. So that it would become clear. It came to the surface. It became manifest that they were not all of us. All right. False teachers will be observable. It's going to come up. Now, let me just make something clear about this. When it says that they went out from us, they were not of us, it's not talking about someone leaving a church. I just want to make that clear. All right. This has to do with someone who leaves truth. You see what I'm saying? This is talking about someone who leaves truth and goes out and teaches something else because they never really believed that truth to begin with. That's what this is talking about. And it's an important thing to recognize that will come to light, what they're teaching that is not true. It becomes manifest. It's observed. Let me give you a couple of groups who came out from orthodoxy. Many of them grew up under truth, but left it because they did not believe it and because they did not truly have Christ. Let me give you a few of these, all right? Some common, popular Christ deniers of our day. Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses, okay? They see Jesus as a separate being from God. They do not believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit being one. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in God the Father and God the Son being one. They do not see them as the same, but as separate. They claim that Jesus was created just like angels, that he was like them, that he was not God, that he's not the creator of all. But like Hebrews 1 and like John 1 say, Jesus Christ is the creator of all. And by the way, their Bible, as I mentioned last time, will reflect the changes that they wish to make what they believe the Bible says say what they want it to say. So Jehovah's Witnesses. Another would be Mormonism. Mormons. They deny that Jesus is God. And here's how they do that. In one part, they say Jesus is a brother to Lucifer. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus is a brother to Lucifer? If the Bible claims that Christ made all, and it does, Jesus and Lucifer can't be brothers. And the ways in which the Mormons describe these relationships and how things took place in the beginning is totally and completely irreverent and incorrect to the Bible. There's no other way to say it than they are denying the truth of who Jesus Christ is to people. Good people, well-intentioned people, but they are deceived. And those things that they teach, and I've said this before, the teaching that Smith proclaimed came out of his searching to figure out what was wrong with all the things he had grown up hearing. He had grown up hearing orthodox teaching of who Jesus was and what the Bible says, but became confused and decided to look for something. And suddenly an angel, an apparition, suddenly comes and tells him things. Can I tell you, Satan's looking for people who are not listening to the truth and who are hungry to find something other than the Bible, the truth of God's Word. It's interesting how many of the people that believe these things that are anti-God saw visions, saw things that came to them and gave them revelation. You know, the enemy loves for people to see things and hear things and deny what the Word of God says. And so Mormonism would be one of those. Another would be Christian Science. How many of you have ever heard of Christian Science? It's very popular in our day, especially amongst social elites, surprisingly. There's a lot of emphasis upon Christian Science. It's based on the writings of Mary Baker Eddy, and they believe basically in a total denial of the biblical definition of God and Christ. What you've been told about God and Christ, that's not true. In fact, Eddy explicitly taught that Jesus Christ is not God, as Jesus himself declared, which is an interesting statement. Jesus declared this, but he really isn't God. Their view of spirituality and everything denies what the Bible says. The denial that Jesus literally died. No, he really didn't literally die. It was just a spiritual thing. That's a denial of the truth of God's word. And they're popular in our day. And you know why they're popular? Because people have not known what the Bible says. The biblical illiteracy in our day, in our time, opens the door for people to believe something other than what God's word says. Which is why John says in this passage, you don't need to be deceived. You have an unction. You have the Holy Spirit of God. And you have the word of God. You don't need to be caught up in these things. You need to be on guard for them. You need to warn others about them. And you may well interact with someone who doesn't believe the things that the Bible says about Jesus. Don't be alarmed by that. Don't be like, oh, I can't believe that. You should expect that. That's what he says. Antichrists are everywhere. But respond to it with the authority of God's word. And point out that the authority that you're believing is the Bible, what God has revealed, not what something someone has experienced, not what someone saw some vision. Your authority is what God has revealed about himself in his word. And you can trust the Bible. Here's a fourth group I would just mention in our day and time where deniers are being manifested, where they're showing up. Theological liberals and religious modernism. Liberalism has not been a recent thing. It's even from the 1800s. Around the same time that some of these cults began was also the time that liberal thinking began to creep into seminaries, into theological circles, where men started to say, you know, I need to interpret the Bible through modern knowledge because we've learned things that people haven't always known. And science has revealed things that we've not known before, and the ethics of the day should determine what the Bible should be interpreted through. The Word of God is timeless. You know that? It is scientifically accurate. You can trust that. You don't have to be worried that miraculous things somehow are mythology in the Word of God and need to be thrown out. That was the feeling of the liberal theologians. Was, well, you know, these miraculous things. I mean, like the water parting on the Red Sea or the walls of Jericho falling down. I mean, these miraculous things, we really can't have people telling this because we all know that's just fairy tales. Friend, that's false. And if you start down that road, you will not have anywhere to stop. If you undermine one bit of the Word of God, you undermine it all. It isn't like, well, you can keep this piece and this piece. You start chopping away at what God has said, you might as well just keep on chopping because you don't have anything to base yourself upon, base your thinking or your faith upon. Your faith now becomes in what you think. That is what antichrists do. They take away the authority of God and replace it with their own. I am. I know. I have intelligence. I can tell you this is really what has happened. This effort to undermine authority from the Word of God has been going on for a long time. How many of you have ever heard of the fundamentals? Many of you know. You know, fundamentalism is often a term that people don't understand because often it's associated with things like the Muslim radicals, you know, fundamentalist Islam or fundamentalist something else. Or even in our day and time, fundamentalism or fundamentalists have oftentimes represented groups that are radical about arms and wanting to do malicious things to people. All right. Even inside of conservative world, oh, they're a fundamentalist. What's a biblical fundamentalist? Historically, it was around the time in the 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s, where people were believing things theologically that were opposed to the Bible. Well, you know, evolution's been proven to be true, so the Bible's account of creation probably can't be correct. It really didn't happen in six literal days. It happened over thousands of years, or maybe even millions of years. We just really can't know. Or maybe the miraculous things, they just don't happen. So they began to attack the truth of the Bible, truths about what God has said. And there were men who recognized there needs to be a statement amongst churches, amongst pastors who say, we believe the fundamentals, the basic orthodox truths of who Jesus Christ is, that he is the Son of God, that he did come in the flesh, that he did die, that he did raise again from the dead. By the way, We believe those basic tenets. Popular theological views, attacks from antichrist groups, they don't change what we believe. And you don't need to be shaken in a world filled with antichrist. You don't. You don't need to be shaken in a world that throws at you all the time, "Well, you believe that? Well, you believe the Bible? You believe that Jesus was really the Son of God? You believe he was equal with God? You believe he really came in the flesh? You believe he really died and rose again?" Yeah. Yeah, I do. Unapologetically. And you don't have to be timid as a Christian in a world that is throwing at you, "You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that, do you?" I don't doubt that there were people in John's day, those little children that he was speaking to, who were feeling pressure, who were feeling opposition, who were feeling the weight of the enemy throwing its false teaching around, and who needed to realize, "I am secure. I do not have to doubt." There's a lot of assurances, by the way, in the book of 1 John. A lot of great assurances and confidence that's given so that a child of God can know how to think correctly in a world that is opposed to Jesus. And I would challenge you tonight to remember, again, verse number 19 of 1 John chapter 2. "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." Don't be frustrated that people depart from truth in this way. Don't be frustrated that that has happened. In fact, be thankful that they become manifest. If someone is going to teach falsehood, we want that to be coming to the surface. It needs to be gotten out of the church. We don't want someone to continue among us who is teaching something that's false. Do you realize that? And the truth of the matter is, they will leave and desire to pull people along with them and desire to hear others listen. "Hey, listen to this. Come here, listen to this." You've got to say, "That's not true. This is the truth. This is where we are going. We're following after Christ. We exalt Christ. We lift up Christ." That is falsehood. And part of my prayer for you as a church is that you recognize these are false teachers. We're not the same. There's a movement, a really strong movement, to try to just join everybody together. You know, why can't we just all get together? Especially, I mean, from Mormonism to Catholicism to Christianity, Orthodoxy. You know what? Why can't we just all get together? Can I tell you, beware of that attitude, because they have left tenets of the faith. We're not all teaching the same thing. Don't be frustrated by the fact that they're not with us. They're not with us because they weren't of us. Do you understand what I'm saying? That they teach something else is illustrative of the fact that they haven't believed on Christ and that they are preaching and teaching something else. Again, I'm talking about something outside of the fundamentals of the faith. They deny Christ. They deny the authority of the Word of God and who He is. They deny that He was risen from the dead. Aren't you thankful that there are people who believe the fundamentals and who believe on Jesus Christ and know Christ as their Savior, who don't go to this church? I'm thankful for that. I'm not saying that everyone who doesn't come to this church isn't of Christ, okay? But those who depart from the fundamentals of the faith, that Christ did come in the flesh, that He is the Son of God, that He did die and raise from the dead, that He is equal with God, that He is deity, those people, you ought to recognize, we're not on the same team. We're not going in the same direction. And this is where my authority lies. This is where my hope lies. This is where my confidence lies. And we want to proclaim Christ to others. And I will just tell you, you're going to feel the weight of that. And you're not alone in that. The church in the early days felt it, and I believe that we're going to continue to face it. I hope that this has been some help to just seeing some of these false teachings and be on guard for them. If you missed some of the previous ones, they are online. You can listen to those in our Sermon Online series or in the app, the Sermon Audio app that we have from the church. But I hope that these have been a help, and that as you have questions, you'll continue to see, where do these people, where do they fit? Are they deniers of Christ? Are they teaching the truth? Or are they just mishandling Scripture? And I believe that we need to be aware of the different kinds of false teachings, false prophets that are out there in the world today so that we can help others. Lord, would you help us as a church to be on guard? I know that these are things that many of us already know, and I thank you that your Spirit is within us to help us see those things that are not true. Lord, would you give us clarity as we teach others, and in particular that we would see that we are not on the same page with many false teachers, that we would disconnect from them, that we would have no part with them, that we would not endorse any aspect of them, and that we would recognize we can unashamedly proclaim our Savior, that He is the Christ, the Son of God, the one who came and died, who put on flesh to bear our sin in His body on the tree, and that we could be made right with you. We thank you for that truth. Help us to proclaim it. Help us to be bold in it. I pray in Jesus' name.